There was some very noticeable testiness during oral arguments 2 years ago in the U.S. versus Windsor challenging the Defense of Marriage Act. Here's Justice Antonin Scalia.
No, it's not doing that. It's just saying for purposes, just what it's doing here. It says for purposes of all these federal statutes, when we say marriage, we mean, instead of saying we mean heterosexual marriage, we mean, whenever we use it, heterosexual and homosexual marriage. If that's what it says.
As long as the people
can it do that?
As long as people were validly married under state law and met the requirements of state law to get married.
No.
Ooh, according to analysis to be published in the Washington University Law Review next year, of the 25,000 Supreme Court opinions from 1791 to 2008, the justices' opinions have become longer, easier for lay people to understand, and also there's been a gradual change in tone, more grouchy, you might say, even venomous. Joining me now is Michael A. Livermore, Associate Professor at the University of Virginia Law School. Welcome, Professor.
Thanks very much. It's great to be here.
Now, this seems very subjective. How do you measure something like this?
Yeah, I mean, at some level, it is subjective. I mean, how someone is going to respond to an opinion is, of course, going to be their subjective experience. What we do is we look at a list of words that are broadly thought to be positive or broadly thought to be negative. So some words they're just more positive words, like preeminent. That's a good word. Whereas admonish is a bad word, not a bad word, but it just has a negative kind of sense to it.
And would you say that's a result of the character of the justices, the style of conducting law in our time since the 1700s, or is something else going on?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, my instinct is that part of it is a broader cultural shift in just the kinds of words that we use. And then part of it is also the court becoming somewhat more vernacular and more everyday in its tone and the language that it uses, less formalistic. And less formalistic language is going to be, when political issues and important policy issues come up, is going to carry that sentiment, and that's not getting stripped out as it may have in the past.
If the tone is something that is highly emotional, and I'm wondering, are you just talking about the majority decisions, or are you considering tone in the dissents? Because some of the dissents can get really, really over the top.
We are considering dissents, and part of this trend may very well be the increasing prevalence of dissents over time. At some level, it's a tough debate because on the one hand, we want civility in our discourse, right? We want a kind of disinterestedness on the court. But on the other hand, it's perfectly okay for important policy issues to raise passion. And so having the court obscure that passion or hide that sentiment, again, in overly formalistic or stripped out language, is not necessarily beneficial for our society.
Well, I can see that we would not want the characters in the 21st century to behave like, I don't know, you know, Gandalfs from the 1700s there on the court. But I do worry that if what you say is true, and let's just accept your premise without scrutiny here, you know, it does seem with all the politicization of the Supreme Court nominations in our time that the court is becoming a mirror of a very degraded, and that's a widely, you know, held belief, that we have a very degraded political discourse in the United States and that the court is starting to be bitten by that bug. Would you say that's a reasonable conclusion to draw?
I mean, it's a reasonable, perhaps, fear. I think that is something that it's very legitimate to be concerned about. There is a broad sense that we have a coarsening of the political discourse, that the parties are unable to work together, that there's a polarization in the electorate that we haven't seen in some time. It's actually useful to keep in mind that party polarization is not something that's new in the history of American society. It's actually something that periodically waxes and wanes over time. And we went through a period of relatively low polarization in the middle of the 20th century, and we're coming into a period of relatively high polarization. Now, seeing that reflected on the court is distressing because we do think of the court as being somewhat outside of politics, because the court does deal with highly charged issues like gay marriage.
This is solid research, and I don't mean to trivialize it in any sense, but in the course of your investigation, is there a Oscar the Grouch justice or a particular opinion that comes to mind as particularly grumpy?
Well, we have a list of the grumpiest justices. Well, it's what we really do is we have this friendliness scores, which is the percentage of positive versus negative words. What's really most striking about it is the fact that the recent justices are so highly represented amongst the lowest friendliness scores. So the second least friendly justice is Justice Alito, followed by Breyer, Thomas, Kennedy, Rehnquist, who was recently on the court. And so that's quite surprising that out of the top five there, you have four that are actually still on the court. So it's less an individual justice than the temporal trend that really is so striking.
And any big birds, you know, kind of really nice, kind of Barney, you know?
Well, Justice Jay, who is the first Chief Justice of the court, has the highest friendliness score. Now, in the early days, the opinions were much shorter. There were fewer words. Interestingly, there are not really any contemporary justices that are in the top of the pack. There are some contemporary justices that are in the middle of the pack, like Justice Ginsburg and Justice Roberts actually are kind of in the middle. So at least for the contemporary court, that's the closest we get to Big Bird, is the being in the middle of the pack.
Michael Livermore, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Michael A. Livermore is associate professor at the University of Virginia Law School, talking about research into the tone of discourse in the decisions of the U.S. Supreme Court going back to the 1700s.